Well, we welcome you tonight. We appreciate those who have led us in our period of worship together. As you know, this morning, we began a discussion of how do we know that Jesus of Nazareth was a real historical person. It has been the effort of several over the years to try to dismiss that reality. There's a lecturer of religious studies at Sydney, Australia, recently published a book entitled There Is No God and There Was No Jesus. So they continue on that path to deny that even Jesus lived. It's a high summit for them to climb to try to prove that with all of the information that we have concerning Jesus of Nazareth. I believe that we all need at least a few things that we can think about and remember so that we can at least answer in part why we believe that he was a real historical person. It's always been amazing to me how many non-factual things they present. And often the things they say about Scripture just are not true. It shows a lack of understanding of what is in the Bible. This morning I noted with you in this debate between a man from modern-day Turkey, from the Ottoman Empire, having lived in the 19th and over in the 20th century, Mr. Mangasarian, in a debate in 1908 with a Dr. Crapsey, both of them very weak in their appreciation for Scripture. Mangasarian having denied it altogether, and Dr. Crapsey having also dismissed everything miraculous. And to his credit, though, maintaining that there was such a person as Jesus of Nazareth. Both of them are Bible deniers in that sense. They do not believe in the virgin birth of Christ, do not believe that he was raised from the dead. They do not believe the essential parts of Christianity as you and I know them. One of the things that Mangasarian tried to do was to belittle the testimony of the Apostle Paul. In fact, he also denies that Paul lived, which is also a terrible denial on his part. Since again, there is so much material of his own writing and of others that show that there was such a person as Saul of Tarsus, who became a follower of Christ, but at first was not. Paul is a real difficult problem for people who deny Scripture and for those who deny that Jesus rose from the dead. It's a very difficult thing for them to explain how a person who was totally sold on Judaism and opposed to Christianity, why would a man of such intellect and opportunity as a Jewish leader, a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin, no doubt to come, why would he convert? Why would he turn to Christ if it were not for the fact that Jesus appeared to him on the Damascus Road? That proves, by the way, the resurrection of Christ. There's something that you need to know about how they speak, the language they use in referring to Jesus. One of the things that they do is to separate between Jesus of Nazareth, that they would style Jesus of history, and the Christ of faith. Those are two expressions that they often use and try to say that they are very different. Here's what they mean. When they turn to the Bible and they begin to read that Jesus did miracles, that he healed the sight of the blind, hearing of the deaf, and speech of the mute, that he healed leprosy, that he raised the dead, all of that is immediately out to them. That is a no-starter. They do not believe any of that, and Mr. Mancharian is in that category. Therefore, he does not accept Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as valid historical documents. Why? Because they have the miraculous element in it. So there's a presupposition, a bias, that they have already the minute they approach Scripture. And that bias is, wait a minute, that's not a reliable document. But why? Because it says too many things that we don't accept. And so they say that there's a difference between the Jesus of history that you might want to try to prove that He existed and the Christ of faith. Now, what do they mean by that latter phrase? They mean that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were written later in Christianity, later even in the first and over into the second century, when, by the way, all four of these men would have been dead. But they want to move those to a later date to say that Christians in the first century developed this thinking about Jesus of Nazareth. They made Him into a miraculous person. Son of God, born of a virgin, did miracles, was raised from the dead. They said that's who they wanted Him to be. That's their God that they made out of a man. And so they distinguish between the Jesus of history and the Christ of faith. Let me show you one thing. It shows that is just totally off the mark in the life of Saul. Here he is opposing Christianity all along in his life, having been a Jew, Pharisee, Hebrew of Hebrews. And then while on the Damascus road to go apprehend Christians and bring them for trial, the risen Christ appears to him. Totally turned his world upside down. By the way, this isn't an illiterate, ignoramus, fisherman, as they want to style the apostles. This was probably one of the most brilliant men that lived in the first century. Would not have been easily fooled. When the Christ, the risen Christ, appeared to him, he said, "What would you have me to do, Lord?" He was told to go into the city, and it would be told him what he should do. There would be a certain disciple there named Ananias, and that he would tell him. When Saul of Tarsus appeared, he was blinded by the light that was shown. Scales fell from his eyes. He received his sight and he arose and was baptized. The very next statement there in Acts 9 says that he began to preach Christ, proving that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. Now that's an important statement, because it occurs before Paul's death, of course, before 64 AD. And so this is not someone who lived in the second century, way on later even in the first century. He died 64 AD. And here he is already, immediately after his conversion, showing to the Jews out of his Scriptures, their Scriptures, that this promised Messiah that the Jews longed for, anxiously looking forward to His coming, that Christ is to be identified with Jesus of Nazareth. that passage alone does away with this notion that there's a separation between Jesus of Nazareth or Jesus of history and the Christ of faith. In fact, no thinking Jew would have followed Jesus Christ if they were not convinced that He was the Christ. And the very first people that obeyed the gospel were Jews. 3,000, Acts 2. 5,000, Acts 5. Just counting the men. So for a period of years, maybe 10, it was the Jews who were obeying the gospel. Why were they doing it? Because they understood that Jesus of Nazareth was the fulfillment of the promise that the Messiah would come. That He was the Christ. And that's what they confessed. We believe that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what they said over and over. And so these deniers of the reality of the historical person of Jesus Christ want to make us believe that there's some separation to be made between the two. And that there's just some writings that these people did about Him long after He was dead. And that that's what we have in the Gospels. It isn't true. The Gospels were written much earlier than those liberal scholars ever place it. And the Paul of the New Testament knew well the Christ. Mr. Mangasarian said he didn't know Him. And that he did not quote one thing that Jesus ever said. We said that Acts 20 verse 35 shows that to be false. And he gave us a quotation that none of the other writers of Scripture told us about. That Jesus said, "How that it's more blessed to give than to receive." How do we know that Jesus was a real person? First of all, Mangasarian wanted to jerk from our hands Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I gave you the reasons why. It's a bias on their part that they reject anything miraculous. It is like saying to Christians, "Prove to us that God exists, but we won't accept any spirit being. But we won't accept any miraculous being." So they've already laid the groundwork that everything is material, everything is physical. And therefore their presupposition, their bias, rules out the historical validity of biblical documents, at least in their minds. Well, what do you do if you go from the Bible to other documents? I want to give you just a quick survey of material outside the Bible that affirms that Jesus of Nazareth was a real historical person. One of them is right now, right after the Apostle John's day. This is 115 A.D. Not very far into the second century. Not long after John's death. This is a Roman historian named Tacitus who says Nero blamed the fire of Rome. He set it on fire, Nero did. Blamed the Christians for it. And he called them the followers of Christus, using the Latin and the transliteration, C-H-R-I-S-T-U-S. He's referring to Christ. And he adds that Christus was born in Judea and was crucified under Pilate. He also calls Christianity a deadly cult. Notice how many truths, how many facts we gain out of this historical document. By the way, Tacitus was not a believer. He was a pagan Roman historian who had no skin in the game for Christianity. No reason to try to be supportive of it, as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were, they would say. So here's a Roman historian simply writing in passing with nothing in the game here, saying that Jesus was born in Judea and He was crucified under Pilate. That's important information. Cannot be easily thrown aside. And then slightly earlier than Tacitus, 110 to 112 AD, was a Roman governor of Bithynia named Pliny, P-L-I-N-Y. He wrote to the Emperor Trajan to ask him what he should do with these Christians that had accusations brought against them. He wanted to know if he should prosecute them for being Christians, just for that alone. That they're worshiping other gods than we're used to in Rome. And they're rejecting Nero. They're not worshiping him as a god. What should we do about these people called Christians? Well, the Emperor Trajan wrote back, and he said to them, leave them alone unless they're charged with another crime. If you have opportunity to prosecute them, do so only after they have committed another crime. And then Pliny gives the earliest non-biblical account that we have of Christian worship. And he says this. He said the Christians met together and they sang a hymn to Christ as unto a God, thereby acknowledging that Christians believed that He was a divine being, not just a historical being. That is an important historical statement by Pliny. And then there's another one. All of these are early in the second century. This one's 121 AD, and it's by Suetonius, another Roman historian. And he said that the Emperor Claudius had expelled the Jews from Rome because of rioting that was instigated by the followers of some that he called Christus. Once again, the Latin for Christ. And he understood that to be a title to refer to Jesus Christ. By the way, this expulsion of the Jews from Rome occurred in the year 49 AD. I marked it in my Bible in Acts 18 when Priscilla and Aquila have journeyed from Rome. They were part of the company of people expelled from Rome because of that uprising. And in Acts 18, verse 2, that date corresponds to this 49 AD of the effort by the Emperor Claudius to get rid of the Jews and the Christians. There were also other later pagan authors, Lucian of Samosata, who were ardent opponents of Christianity. And all of these contain references to Jesus, and none ever even suggest that He was not a real historical person. Well, those are Roman sources, and there are others. There is a Jewish historian who survived the Roman onslaught against Jerusalem. When Jerusalem fell by Titus, the general of Rome, marching against it in AD 70, inside the city of Jerusalem were the family, prominent priestly family of the Jews. It was Josephus and his mother. They were inside the city. And they were given opportunity to leave. The Roman leader, the general there, did not want to slaughter all of the people inside. He gave them opportunities to leave. And there were radicals inside saying, no, no, the Romans are not going to take our city. They were going to stay inside or die. One way or the other, they were not giving it up. Josephus left. The Romans greatly rewarded him for that. In fact, he spent the rest of his life being paid a stipend in Rome because he supported the Roman effort and he tried to get his fellow Jews to surrender. His mother stayed inside. Josephus in Rome and from Rome wrote the history of the Jews, recounting many of the things that we have in our Old Testament. All the way up until his day, AD 70, which would include the life of Jesus Christ. And Josephus referred to, in his Antiquity of the Jews, he recounted the stoning of James, as he called him, the brother of Jesus, the so-called Messiah. So here's a Jewish man who did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God, and that he mentions the stoning of Jesus' brother. And he says, the so-called Messiah. By the way, there's a whole body of literature published by Jews. It's Jewish traditions, customs, rabbinical writings called the Talmud. The Torah was the law. The Talmud were their traditions. And they were put in their final form in the 4th through the 6th centuries A.D., well after Jesus' day, well after the beginning of Christianity. And those Jewish writers, once again, no friend of Christ, they were not followers of Jesus Christ, but in the Talmud there are numerous references to Jesus, who is consistently described as a sorcerer, and one who led Israel astray. So they think Jesus did great harm to the Jewish faith by pulling away these disciples and following Him. By the way, there are others. I've given you examples both from Roman historians and from Jewish writers that give validity to the truth that a man named Jesus of Nazareth lived. Historically, it's unassailable. Let me read you a quotation from a very prominent historian of the last generation. In fact, he lived from 1914 to the year 2004. Died when he was 90. His name, Michael Grant. He wrote a book titled Jesus, A Historian's Review of the Gospels. He wrote that in 1977. By the way, Michael Grant was also the translator of Tacitus' Annals of History. So he was a noted historian. He knew well the Roman history, being a prominent translator himself. This is what he said in this review of the Gospels that we just gave a critique of and a view from the viewpoint of those who say that it's just filled with miraculous stuff. We can't have that. Michael Grant said that Jesus was the most potent figure, not only in the history of religion, but in world history as a whole. That's on page 1 of his book. He also adds, we can no more reject Jesus' existence than we can reject the existence of a mass of pagan persons whose reality as historical figures is never questioned. He said, if you're going to question Jesus and wonder whether he's a real historian, why not all these other people? Why not the Greek writers? Why not Socrates and Plato? You would have to dismiss all of those if you're going to use the same standard that you're using against Jesus of Nazareth. To sum up, modern critical methods fail to support the Christ myth theory. It has again and again been answered, and humiliated by first-rank scholars. In recent years, no serious scholar has ventured to postulate the non-historicity of Jesus, or at any rate, very few. And they have not succeeded in disposing of the much stronger, indeed very abundant, evidence to the contrary. I've made my mind up to say this. I will not allow people to take from my hands the reliable documents of Scripture. Let me give a brief summary, an overview here. How do we know that Jesus of Nazareth was a real person? He lived at the intersection of something very significant and very important. That intersection is, if you back up to the Old Testament period, you have all of this information from 1500 BC, from the days of Moses. You have all of this information coming forward. Who is it about? The Christ. The Messiah. What does it say? Where he would be born, Micah 5. In Bethlehem of Judea, that he would be crucified, die for our transgressions, Isaiah 53, that he would establish his kingdom and it would abide upon his shoulders, the responsibility of that kingdom, Isaiah 6, Isaiah 9. In fact, there's no way to appreciate, no way to understand the Old Testament except through the understanding of who Jesus of Nazareth was. He fulfilled it. We mentioned that on Wednesday night. What does it mean when the Bible says, as it is written, that it might be fulfilled? It meant that the only way you're going to understand the Old Testament is through the life of Jesus Christ. There is no other. Who else came to atone for our sins? To bring in everlasting righteousness, as Daniel said in chapter 9. Who established a kingdom that would begin in the days of the fourth empire from Nebuchadnezzar's day? Right at the early beginning of the Roman Empire, Jesus was born. And His kingdom was established. By the way, that was exactly the gospel preaching of the first century. If we could go back there, what you would hear them doing over and over again, pulpit after pulpit, synagogue after synagogue, it would be the taking of Scripture, the Old Testament Scriptures, and proving that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ. That's what Paul did his first sermon at Damascus in Acts chapter 9. That's what they all did. That's what Peter did on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved among you by signs and wonders and miracles which God did by him in the midst of all you all. You've witnessed, you've seen those things. Here's Peter using the very miraculous element that our liberal scholars today deny to establish that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ. That they so nonchalantly push aside as if it has no importance. Jesus sits in history at that crossroad of the Old Testament going forward and the life of the apostles and preachers of the New Testament. And then the pagan writers all around them watching and seeing what is going on there and writing about it themselves. And now we have 2,000 years of rich history built upon one person. They're prone to say, well, but Mohammed was a great man. Mohammed built a great religion. Really? He was a terrorist. He was a pedophile. He was a murderer. Really? You're going to compare Jesus of Nazareth to Mohammed? There is no comparison. Should not be uttered even in the same breath, those two names. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved among you. Indeed, Jesus lived. And as we began this morning, and He lives again. He lived historically on earth, and He lived again in the resurrection from the dead. Do you know why people are so ready to deny Jesus Christ? There are several reasons, but one of them is, it is their way of rejecting God one more time. The book from Sydney, Australia. There is no God and there was no Jesus. They're connected in their minds, as indeed they should be, because Jesus came to reveal the Father to us. That's what He came to do. Jesus was a real historical person. Beside that, He was the Christ. There is no separation between the two. We encourage you, all of your being, to follow the Christ because He is who He said He was. While we stand, sing together.